The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. Anything that, you know, has been bugging you, you've tried, you've applied, you've done everything you possibly can and come up with the same thing. Nothing works, right? Well, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here in studio. And we're going to have a little conversation today, one that's appropriate, one that is very timely, on a subject called allergies, specifically springtime allergies, and even more specifically, how to treat them naturally without all the nose dope, the Afrins, the drugs that you're going to take, and what makes you worse, right? There's a ton of symptoms that are associated with that, and, you know, the list is really, really, really long, and when you start saying, oh, my God, is that really what's causing it? But everything from, you know, your nose is running, your eyes are running, itching, sneezing, nasal congestion. But, you know, one of the most profound symptoms of allergic responses? It's real simple. It's called fatigue, tired. You want to stay in bed. You don't want to get up. You can't figure out why you have no energy no matter what. And, you know, where is that bed? Well, we're going to talk about that in studio today. And guess who's going to help me with that? Somebody who really knows the subject, knows it well. And we're going to talk about all the ramifications and how these things start, but more importantly, what you can do with it. Dr. Stephanie Pina, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a great day to talk about this. It started out wet and ugly and nasty. It's supposed to get better this afternoon, but nevertheless, you know, people are sneezing and the noses are running and they're congested and they don't feel good, and 'tis the season.
Well, and it's interesting because you have these temperatures which are like 70s, almost 70s in here in Northern Virginia during the daytime, and then sometimes they're dropping down to like, you know, 30 degrees at night, so that coldness is, you know, warming everything up. Things are starting to bloom and grow, but at the same time, it can also be a difficult time for a lot of people who either don't know how to treat allergies properly or identify them to begin with.
You know, it's funny, this weekend I did a program downtown in D.C. This weekend, I've been down there for 4 days, didn't even come out of the hotel except for dinner time. And we had about 70-some docs and some staff members with them. And, you know, we're watching people on purpose, and we're looking at their eyes, and their eyes are dark, and, you know, they're coughing, and they're sneezing, and I'm saying, wow. And I hadn't even gone outside yet. And one of our staff members who was with us, because she was running around going in and out, she at one point had to leave the floor and go upstairs and rest, and one of our guys treated her. But the overwhelm because of the cherry blossoms and everything budding downtown and the weather shifting and so forth, you just immediately got to her because of the profound fatigue, you know, that she was going through. So her immune system was not what it should be. So let me ask you this question. You know, there's so many people that suffer from this type of thing, seasonal allergies, you know, whether it's springtime or the falltime allergies. They're similar in their representation. But what predisposes? Why some people? We're talking about, some authors will say up to about 20% of the population suffer from these type of reactions, springtime. That's a lot of people. That's, you know, that's about 60 to 65 million people or so. What's the deal?
Well, I think what's interesting, I think it's multifactorial. And whenever we see a transition in seasons, whether it's that winter to spring or the fall to the winter and coming off of summer as well too, you know, you have these weather conditions outside that affect us, but we also have to think about what are we doing internally that's affecting us. We have a lot of changes that we're doing. So we're coming off of the winter time where we've been inside more frequently. We've had the dry heat on. We've been, you know, trying to keep everything humid in there so that the dry heat doesn't affect us. And then you have the stressors that you're still coming off of, possibly from the holidays as well too. So everything's kind of accumulative. And then all of a sudden, now you have this outside influence that is getting building up to be more and more because of the different weather changes out there, and it's lasting longer. So we're having issues with pollens. We're having issues with molds. But underlying, why is it that those certain people are having issues? It could be because they actually have other things going on first, and then these are just those symptoms to bring them to the surface, like underlying different types of inflammation, different types of other allergens, and their overall immune system's kind of shot as well.
You know, and that's the piece. It's the immunological responses that are not doing what they were meant to do. Or actually, in some situations, they're overreacting.
This is a normal response. When we get something that invades us, we're supposed to kind of clear it, flush it out, cough it out, because that's what's going to keep us alive and healthy. But when it starts going overboard and overreacting, then it becomes a nuisance. And then what do we do to help take care of that?
This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be presenting the topic, you know, natural treatment of springtime allergies at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And love to have you as our guest. All you need to do is call 703-698-7117. Easy. Go online. Go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. And scroll down. You'll get about halfway down and you'll see the ad for it. And it says, hit this, register, and get it done. As you know, we have limited spacing and we'd love to have you as our guest. Please make that happen sooner rather than later. We're talking about immunological reactions when it comes to all the shift, all the exposures, the things that make you sneeze, cough, feel lousy, give you a headache, scratchy throat, runny eyes. I don't feel good. I don't want to get out of bed. That's the time of the year. And you start going to the doc and they put you on steroids and, you know, they put you on inhalers and they put you on, you know, things that just make things worse and they rebound even more. What are the predispositions that cause, you know, we said, I want to back up just a bit. We talked about this is an overreactive pattern. From traditional allopathic point of view, they're going to look at something called the mast cell in the body, MAST. And that's the one that causes these symptoms when we're talking about overreactive patterns. Why do things suddenly get triggered? What's the underlying, you know, bully pull up here?
Well, the good thing is mast cells are actually our friends. We want them to be there. If they're not there, we're in trouble. So like I said, it's a overreaction when your body just can't take too much anymore. And essentially what there's there to do is to make sure that we have vasodilation, that we get things out of our system normally. But when they take over is a problem. So when they look at it from a conventional standpoint, the best thing to do is basically block what is coming out of the mast cell, the chemical that we all know is histamine. And that's typically where a lot of these come from, or then give prednisone to decrease that inflammation response. But the problem is what if we already have an inflamed response, or we have some patients that come in, they're already on prednisone for other reasons. And if they're coming in and then you're giving more, the body's not going to recognize it as anymore. They're just going to sit there and say, well, that's nice. Let's just keep having these reactions. But these mast cells are giving you symptoms or the histamine is giving you symptoms that you really need to be addressing ahead of time instead of waiting till they're already in full explosion.
You know, it's a real sad scenario. People come into the Washington area and they say, you know, I've never had an allergy reaction before until I came here. Well, they call this place Foggy Bottom for a reason. It's a swamp. And with swamp, there's tons of mold and fungus that's rotting. And if you have any sensitivity whatsoever, you're going to be more susceptible to these reactions. And so now you've got that. And then the allergens come out, all these pollens and so forth. And now you have insult upon insult and people really suffer horribly, skin rashes, and their eyes get black, and they just can't function. Everything. It's almost like they have a flu, but it's not the flu, and unfortunately, often it's treated that way as well. Why do people react so badly? I mean, I always say, yeah, we have a fungus here, but is it just that, or do we have more of a predisposition to other things as well?
I think what's always interesting with this is that, especially if you think about this past cold flu season that was this winter, is that it looked a lot more like an allergy season than it did a cold flu congestion.
It sure did.
And so just taking that into consideration, what you're basically looking at is a body that hasn't recovered from that cold flu season going into more insult as the weather starts to change as well, too. So a lot of the times we're not getting over and our body's not finished processing what we've had in the past in order to move on. So now you get another insult and it just keeps it going. So it's a vicious cycle where it goes over and over again. And the body can only do so much. So when it has to spend so much energy to boost the immune system to try to get this stuff out, then that's where one of these symptoms of drowsiness and fatigue is going to come from, because your body is saying, I need a break. And so it's saying, I'm going to shut you down for a little bit.
You know, it's very interesting. I've noticed clinically that there's a certain profile that is predisposed to this. And I don't even have to look at the patient. I just show me some blood work. And traditionally, they'd look at the blood work and say there's nothing wrong with it. Here's the deal. I've noticed over 42 years of practice that these chemistries, these parameters are shifting and changing and getting wider and wider. And where it used to be very abnormal at a certain level, now they consider it normal. The reason is really a crazy screwball reason, is that there's so many people now who are more metabolically, immunologically challenged and depleted that there's the laboratory says, well, that's normal. So what I'm talking about is the white blood cell count, which is the thing that helps us the most, right? So when I was in school back in the day, 5,005 up to about 8.5 was considered normal. Anything below that or anything above that number was considered excessive. Now you see some of the laboratories going down to 3.8 all the way up to about 11, and they're saying, well, these are normal. They're not. And so if you give me a laboratory report that says that the white blood cell count is under 5 habitually, that patient, my observation, that patient is going to be more predisposed to a lot of things, but particularly allergies of all kinds.
Right, and we see this sometimes with more chronic diseases. I remember looking at lab reports, say, take with HIV/AIDS patients, right? They would monitor their immune systems to see how treatment was doing and when they're going to have more susceptible for another type of disease on top of their viral infection. But you don't see that for the normal person. You see that only when you have this diagnosis where they know your immune system is going to be off and greatly affected. But for the average person that walks in and gets their annual blood work done, depending on what time of year they're getting it done, it can show a lot of different things. And the white blood cell count being the perfect example of that.
You know, the body has to get rid of all this stuff. And it does it through the intercellular spaces and responses. So you have lymphatic congestion. Sometimes there's too much junk being dumped into the cells or outside of the cells into the interstitial fluid, and the body's got to get rid of it. And if it's overwhelmed, it can't. It's because of all the things that we're exposed to and our dietary habits. You know, we call the SAD diet, the American diet of all kinds of sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, you know, my mantra, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, this is the body's struggling. It's trying to get the stuff out into the sewer, and it can't do it. So it bombards the system. So now one little more insult, one little trigger, now the body's going into reactive pattern. Go back to the mast cells just for a second. So these mast cells are handling histaminic reactions. People are in Washington area and they have mold and fungus exposures, right? Are those the guys that are also reacting to that and causing, you know, because we know that itching and all kinds of things have to do with mold and fungus. Are we talking about the same thing, or is there another piece in addition to that?
It could certainly be the same thing. The other thing, too, is we're thinking about it in some of the, you know, homes and buildings. But think about the fact, too, you mentioned how it's so damp here. What if someone had anything that happened to their house? They have water damage that they may or may not see, or they buy a new house and all of a sudden something there. You might not know that you have fungal infections and mold spores in there. We've had a patient that recently had their house looked at, and right where she was sleeping and napping, right next to it is basically where there was a lot of mold and fungus growing.
I know. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax this Wednesday evening, the 3rd of April already. And she's going to be talking about natural treatments of springtime allergies and really reversing these things. Wouldn't that be great? Go online at rosellcare.com and register and do it today right after the program. I actually done the program while you're sitting here. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio, and along the side of me is Dr. Stephanie Pina, your host, your presenter, this coming Wednesday, the 3rd of the month coming up. Wow, it's just flying by. We're going to be shopping for Christmas again pretty quickly. I didn't say that, did I? Summer's not even here yet. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. We had a caller that was very patient and dropped off. So, John from Fredericksburg, I was going to take your call. So, why don't you give me a call back, and we're going to wait just a little bit before you take anybody else. I'd love to get you back in. 888-630-9625. We're talking about springtime allergies, but more importantly, how you fix them. and you fix them without drugs and so forth. Because, you know, what the drugs do is they suppress the immunological response, and then you have this nasty rebound effect. What happens is that your body becomes accustomed, used to the medication, and then when it doesn't have it, or you've been off it for a while, then it can come back with a vengeance, a fury that is ridiculous. You know, we talked a little bit about the mast cells, Dr. Pina, and those mast cells are the things that react and cause a histaminic pattern, all that stuff that we kind of resent having. You know, it clogs everything up. The triggering mechanism, though, is the IgE antibody. And immunoglobulin, that thing. Yeah, yes.
Is allergies getting in the way?
It is. Immunoglobulin, IgE antibody. And it's the one that attaches to the cell and triggers its response. And so when that bad boy is attached, then every time you have any exposure, it reacts, and the histaminic reactions become more prominent and more severe over a period of time. So that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people might know more of that IgE from, like, when we talk about food allergies as well, too, like food sensitivities and food allergies. And that gives you that quick response, that anaphylactic response, like the peanut and nut allergies, the shellfish allergies that we definitely don't want to see. But what tends to happen, too, is throughout the whole year, if we take out the pollens and the molds and everything else that might be happening that's seasonal, you have to think of the delayed response, the IgGs. And those ones don't come out right away. They may be food related and also environmental related, but that's an underlying stem of inflammation. If that's happening, what can happen is then you put that other IgE in, and all of a sudden the body starts to really inflame, and it doesn't want to let go.
You know, these things are released from all over the place, particularly plasma cells within the body. So when you have a body that is, I'll use a term which is really not appropriate, dirty blood. And that means that there's all kinds of things that are floating around in there that's been exposed for a period of time. You have more of a tendency to respond, because it truly is. It's a protective mechanism that's going on, but it's overreacting. Your body's beat up. Your fight-flight system, your adrenal system's not working the way it's supposed to. Your body can no longer produce its own steroids because you've been on all this junk for such a long period of time. But you beat it up before that because of all the things that we talked about. So when you look at this, you know, we talk about oak trees, and we talk about, you know, well, I only react to this type of grass, or I only react to, you know, the spores of certain things, or when everything is rotting. How do we begin to distinguish the differences between the different reactive patterns? I mean, we're not going to, you know, RAS testing where they pinprick everybody is not necessarily the most accurate thing in the world. And I have a whole opinion on that, but we'll save that for the second half of the program.
Well, one of the things, you know, I mean, a lot of the times patient's observation, you know, when I always tell patients, you know, go and observe yourself, pay attention to yourself, because sometimes you can notice different things going on in your house. If something's in bloom, you're going to know what's blooming right outside your door before a doctor does. You're going to know what might have been changed, or if you changed a product and you having more of a skin reaction as well. We've seen that with someone who's trying to use aloe, this natural substance, and realized that she was having a reaction to the aloe vera, and it was creating this huge mass reaction. So her skin would come in and she'd break out like you thought she was rolling around in pollen. So a lot of the times you can use other kind of testing and also observation to give feedback to the practitioners that you're working with to figure out how to best identify those issues. But then at the same time, if we're identifying those issues, we have to identify those other issues of inflammation in the body too that are putting you just at that right spot, so that the allergen and pollen, when it's outside, can really create an issue.
888-630-9625. Give us a call. I'd love to talk to you and answer your questions on this or any topic that you have. If you have a problem, we're more than happy to take it on and see what we can do to, you know, make you think a little differently, point you in a direction that might be significant in not only eliminating the symptom process, but also getting rid of the problem. We're coming up to the halfway part of the program, but, and we'll talk about this as we go through the next second half. But if you had to say a couple things, why do people have more predispositions this time of the year than even in the fall or other times where they feel really bad?
we haven't been outside for a while and exposed to everything, and it's time to start working on our underlying health issues.
So in other words, put down all your electronics, get outside and go play, and start building your immunological reactions. You know, like kids need a whole pound of dirt before they're five. Well, we need exposures as well. We're coming up to the midpoint. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. It is Sunday, yes, on the Eastern Seaboard, Mid-Atlantic area on WMAL. And those of you who are in the area, please listen carefully because you are about to experience ugliness in the community. What do I mean by that? Are we going to go to war? No. Is the economic market going to crash? No. But your nose and your throat and your eyes and the rest of you are going to feel miserable for quite some time if you have not have a strong immunological system. Springtime allergies, folks, they take it on for everybody. So we have to make sure that you have the data, you have the information to switch this off and permanently switch it off. You need to have the data, and that's what we do here. And that's why you can call me at 888-630-9625. But this Wednesday evening, the third of the month at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, we have the privilege of having a program and a presenter that is extraordinary and bringing forth tons of information, Dr. Stephanie Pina, who is my guest in studio. And we're going to go through and talk to you a little bit more about the provocation, if you will, of different types of, you know, these ugly things that go on. And we'll give you a few tips before the program's over as well, but we'd love to hear from you at 888-630-9625. Dr. Pina, let's talk a little bit about, you know, again, the reactive patterns. Why, you know, Virginia, you know, we think that Northern Virginia is actually, you know, one of the top places in the world, you know, for allergy reactions. Well, maybe. Actually, it's not. And there are many other cities throughout the country. Richmond is the closest, and that ranks at about number 14. But you have, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, and those areas where there's lots more water in Tennessee than up and through here. So that's what we're dealing with.
You know, every time that I've done the allergy lecture, I always have my pre-show slides so that people can come in early, just like going to the movies and see the previews. And that's the list that I always had. For the last 3 or 4 years, I put that on there. And what's funny is they'll usually take the capital cities, but every now and then they'll throw another city in there. And what's interesting is that Richmond will go up and down that list between, it's higher this year, the 2019 list. So obviously they're talking about 2018, but it's actually higher on the list than before. And that can also be for asthma too. So obviously when we're talking about long-term chronic allergies, what else does that lead to as far as other health conditions? And asthma being one of the main ones. So Richmond gets on that list, and even Virginia Beach gets on that list as well too. So, DC was like kind of in the middle, if I remember correctly. Baltimore was kind of in the middle. So I'm going to have the updated list this at the lecture this Wednesday. So you can see where we rank.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking 80 million people. You know, we're high concentrated population areas that are suffering like crazy. But, you know, then I took a look at the list the other day, and you have places like Syracuse, New York, you know, Buffalo, New York, where I'm from. And, you know, Buffalo is like number 10 on the hit list.
Well, I went to University of Tennessee in Knoxville, and Knoxville's on the list as well, too. So what that kind of makes me wonder is, do we have a predisposition later on for allergies when we move to areas that have more mold, more pollens, and the seasons tend to last a little bit longer if we lived in some of these other cities? So you have to look at what's your past history been. Also, does that have an effect on now? I mean, there's a great little write-up about Tucson, Arizona. So right after World War II, a bunch of people moved out to Tucson, Arizona, and like 30% of people that went there because of health reasons, and one being allergies because it's dry there, it should be all great, and it seems like the perfect opportunity. You're getting away from the dampness. Well, years and years later, what ends up happening is they start to see that allergies and asthma starts to rise. Why is that?
Swimming pools?
No.
Oh.
Close. Close. But there's a couple of different things. Is one, they got used to the Southwest pollen allergy, so they have more exposure there. So that happened to me personally when I went to school in Arizona. I had desert pollen allergies. And then the other thing is that when you move from one area to the other, you like to bring your stuff with you. So, and as an area starts to grow, they started to make it more modernized. So you get more urban pollution. And what you also start to see is now they're bringing in stuff that's not supposed to be there. So different types of grasses that can grow there aren't supposed to be in the middle of the desert, and now they are.
So my question becomes this. When you have an allergy reaction and your children have an allergy reaction, is that environmental or is it genetically predisposed?
It's probably a little bit of both, because we know the fact that epigenetics that looks at that environmental part has to play. But what's interesting is there a reaction to other things that you're both being in contact with, especially foods? You know, we talk about how much the digestive tract plays a part of these allergic reactions. If you're eating the same types of foods, are you both being exposed to something? Is that aggravating it?
888-630-9625. Give us a call. There's a call that just came through, and it's one of several, but I have to take it simply because it's someone who I have such total admiration. I better be right on this call. And someone who is amazing practitioner, one of the top functional neurologists in the country, now from California. Dr. George, is that you?
It is me.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I thought you'd be out of here by now.
What was that?
I said I thought you'd be on the plane and headed back home by now.
I'm home. I came in last night.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just like, you said we did a little video together about the Leadership to Legacy event that you put on this weekend, which was absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
And you said how to get a hold of you and how to watch you on the radio show. And I said, well, let me punch it in. Let me figure this out. And then you said, call in. And I can't believe you're working after putting on such an amazing event. I know how hard it is because I put on events as well. And just what it takes, the heart it takes, the energy it takes to put on an event for doctors from around the world to come together and hear the wisdom that Dr. Tom Rozelle puts out for everybody as gems and pearls and of wisdom. It's absolutely amazing.
George, you are way too kind, my dear friend. You are the consummate doctor and a spirit like nobody else's. You know, what we have to do one of these days, and you're not going to plan it, you have an insight in the world of functional neurology far beyond most people will ever have, and I'm talking doctors. And we're going to set a date and put it up there, and you and I are going to do the program together. We're going to talk about functional neurological pathways and their effect on the body.
Oh, I would absolutely love that. Thank you so much. As you know, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tom, if you don't know him well, he is one of the hardest working doctors in the world. He works 7 days a week to bring you the best information, to work on patients, to learn more and bring more to the world. And it's amazing to see it, spending time with him this weekend and seeing what he puts out there in terms of his energy and his love and his ability to help, and then the very next day he's on a radio show broadcasting, and he told me the secret. He told me the secret how he does it. Could I share it, Tom?
Go right ahead, George.
He said it's because it's not work. This is what he loves to do. And that's truly what it is. It's like, that's why he gets up every day. That's why he does what he does and shares what he shares, because this information saves lives, and it's so powerful. So thank you, Tom, for what you do, and I look forward to having you on my podcast, the Hologram Podcast. You can hear it on YouTube. And I don't know, is there anything you want to talk about?
We're actually talking about springtime allergies, kid. And, you know, we're trying to help people, because right now in the Washington area, we are in the blossom season where everybody's going crazy. So Dr. Pina's on with me today, and we're going through and, you know, trying to help people with those issues and how to, you know, calm down those mast cell reactions and what we can do and so forth. And we have our in-house continuing education program coming up this Wednesday evening. So we're going to make that happen. George, you are amazing. I thank you, sir, for everything that you do and how you serve mankind. I appreciate your phone call, buddy. We'll talk soon. Give my love to your family. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That was a man who was amazing. Yeah, he's one of the special people on the planet. Let's go to the phones. Larry, how can we help you, sir?
I've had allergies for close to 30 years, and I've been taking honey for a long time, and I wonder if there's any truth to the idea of beneficial properties for local honey to help with seasonal allergies.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is, I mean, it's very basic when you think about it, is that those local bees that are going around and producing the honey are going after the same plants and pollen that essentially that we're having these reactions to. So you're getting a little bit of an exposure as you go along. Ideally, the best thing to do would try to be to do local honey ahead of time. I mean, this is a very Chinese medicine kind of way of looking at treating anything, but especially I think with allergies is you want to try to build that up ahead of time instead of right at the moment. But it certainly can help. What we're seeing now is that there's a little bit of reverse that's interesting with some of the local bees that are in urban areas, is that they have less and less plants to be pollinating. They don't get the same exposure, so they're also starting to pick up some of the chemicals and stuff in there, so they're tracking the benefits and the risks of honey. So definitely if you're using local honeys, just like eating seasonally and with your local shopping at local food markets as well too, because essentially you're going to get stuff that might have less preservative, may have less chemicals as well. So all that works in your favor for sure.
You know what? When we have patients who are overreacting, this is an old naturopathic going back to the days of, you know, the Priesters and Kellogg's and so forth, some of the original people in that field, that you take the pollen, the bee pollen of the local area, if that's what people are reacting to. And sometimes people react horribly to bee pollen, but you give them one little grain a day, you build up, and pretty soon you get them up to where they're taking a teaspoon throughout the day, and then you do one teaspoon, two, three times a day for a period of time, and you stop it. That sets up the local immunological response and strengthens it, and you can use either the bee pollen or the honey, but it has to be local and it has to be raw. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing process. But Larry, yeah, absolutely, it works, and you know there's a step-by-step process that you can make that happen with. Thanks for your call. 888-630-9625. You know, there's so much. Nature provides its own antidotes. And, you know, when you're talking about bee pollen and things like that, and, you know, even the application of honey on so many different levels, it works miraculously well.
I mean, we've talked about in the past, too, Manuka honey, and the fact that that can be almost used as like an antibacterial type of source. And even veterinary medicine has been using that with surgical wounds that won't heal and stuff, too. So it's amazing to see what's kind of put out there. You know, we have to be careful with what we're using and making sure that we're working with the right professionals, too, to make sure what we're having, we're not going to have a response to it. One of the interesting things that I think people coming off of the winter allergy season is they may have been doing echinacea to boost their immune system, but all of a sudden echinacea is also in the same family as ragweed. So you might have to be really, really careful on which natural sources you use as well, too, because you could be kind of spiking that reaction as well.
888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday at the Roselle Center for Healing. Love to have you with us. All you need to do is go to rosellecare.com and register. Just say, hey, you're going to be there. We need to confirm your reservation, but we'll reach out and leave you a message and say, hey, you know, and if there's anything that we can do for you, that's how you find us, too. You can always send an email through that site, rosellecare.com. But more importantly, this is an opportunity really to learn how to reverse things, how to handle things, how to turn this craziness off that so many of us suffer from, over close to, you know, 60, 70, 80 million people, depending on the author, and rising, getting worse, because immunological responses are breaking down. Let's go to the phones. Nancy, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you. My question is, what would you recommend to remove formaldehyde from a new construction house? I moved in December. I know I'm allergic to formaldehyde to start with. I keep the windows open as much as possible, but I developed asthmatic bronchitis last week, and I got slammed with three inhalers a day.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I just don't go that route, so I need some help here.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that you can do. One of the things, you know, unfortunately, new construction of any kind, flooring, where they put, you know, when we went into our new office 2 years ago, we try to use things that are not sensitive, but sometimes you can't get away from it 100%, is the gluing
and
that goes... Right. It's horrible. So the first thing you start with is you get a good filtering system. There's a lot of them out there. You can go online, you know, air filters reducing.
Is ozone bad? And I have a Winnick plasma flow one, but I've had three on and then you know, obviously three of them weren't enough.
You know, ozone you can use, but I wouldn't tell you to stay in the house while you're doing it. I would, if it was my house, I'd crank it up full, you know, full bore, but I'd not be in the house. And then when you come home, shut it off and open the windows and get some, you know, from airflow. But get your, you know, your air moving. You know, you have to get rid of those particulates that are there. But if nothing else, you want to get an activated carbon filter that that works. But ozone works probably the best. And then it's a matter of over time it dissipating. You know, with you, you have to make sure that, you know, you you keep the toxic levels of these things off your body as best that you possibly can. And that's, you know, keeping, you know, air filters, not only that, but keeping your body clean using you know, even physiological saline, you know, to clean out your membranes so it doesn't get in your system. But obviously these things can trigger, you know, asthmatic reactions very, very profoundly. So you have to be careful, you know, particularly in young, young folks. And sometimes the symptoms are very gentle, but people with, you know, particularly with, you know, chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases shouldn't be anywhere near this stuff. I mean, we have, patients that when we built our new office out, we told them not to come in for at least 30 days to 6 weeks. That's how long it takes. But that off-gassing,
it can be outgas it?
Six to, you know, up to 6 to 8 weeks.
That's all?
Yeah. I mean, if you do right, if you do the ozone, you can get rid of it. You can make a big difference in doing that. You have to, but you got to make sure that you keep your body clean and so forth. But that's the best way. There's a lot of other little things that you can do, but get that ozone, that ozonator in there, get some filters in the system, you know, open, windows, start keeping all of your clothes and so forth clean because the stuff will get into your clothing. It's a pain. It really is, but it's something that you can do proactively, you know, but that's where you start. That is the most effective way of making it happen. And, but when you crank up that ozone filter, you do not want to be in the house or in the same room when you have it full bore. We have some room ozonators that we put in. We keep them at low levels. Your body can tolerate that, and it won't knock you out. It won't make you feel like you got to sleep for, you know, 10,000 years. But that's the way, that's the best way, in our opinion, to get done. But keep your body clean, wash your clothes, keep everything scrubbed down, and it'll dissipate over time. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live. I am in studio, and we do this live for you every Sunday, 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are all over the country, like my friend, dear Dr. George Gonzalez out in California, you know the drill. You know where you are, and we thank you. And those of you who are listening to us through some mode on Armed Forces Communications and Media or on iPod, we thank you so very much, and also thank you so much for your service. We love all of you very much. Dr. Pina, you got a program that's coming up, and it's an important one, and it's how to deal with these nasty, ugly springtime allergens, these reactive patterns that make everybody feel so awful, so miserable. What are you going to cover?
I'm going to cover a lot because there's a lot of different aspects of this. Like, you know, we kind of know what some of the basic allergens are out right now, but let's think of them from a different perspective. How is it when they all work together to create these symptoms? It's really telling our body and trying to tell us there's something else going on. What's underlyingly going on? Is there inflammation? Is there digestive issues going on? We have to address those just like we're addressing the symptoms. We can't just replace a medication with something natural and not know how it works. So the more understanding you get on what's going on with your body, what your body's trying to tell you, the better. And there's a lot of tools and tips and guides that we're going to give that make it a lot easier, things that you can do on a daily basis, things that you can understand a little bit more to help your practitioners treat you individually a little bit better. And then also looking at things from different perspectives. How do things like, you know, Chinese medicine and acupuncture kick into this? How do things like looking at lab work, where does it show up that the immune system might not be functioning well, or your adrenals are having a really hard time dealing with chronic issues? So allergies and the bugs and the pollens and everything that's out there in the mold is just part of the story. But essentially, we got to dig a little bit deeper to understand, how do we really treat these? How do we do it effectively? And how do we actually treat the individual that's coming in instead of just their symptoms?
ton of information, stuff that you can use and put to work immediately this Wednesday evening, the 3rd, at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Make that call or just simply go online at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. rosellecare.com and register. We have to have your registration so we can make sure that we have a seat for you. Please make that an opportunity for you. But we had a caller early on that talked about a little while ago, formaldehyde. What I wanted to remind everybody and her is that even new bedding, particularly all of these memory foams, they got formaldehyde into them unless they are certified organic. And they also make little air filters that are very specific, you know, to that situation. We have a couple more callers. I'll take one, but unfortunately it'll be a very quick call. Linda, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dr. Tom. Linda here. You helped me and inspired me many years ago.
Well, thank you.
I love you for everything you do.
Thank you.
And Dr. Pena, just you guys are talking a lot about some touching on the detox pathways and all, and that's just the curiosity I have because I've continue to study ever since I've been with you.
Okay, let us handle it. We have a minute. Is there anything specifically you want me to touch on?
Yes, the detoxing of the liver and what have you and the low levels of possible magnesium in people.
Okay, hang on. I don't know how much time we have, but we'll hit it, okay? Thank you, Linda. That's very kind. So go ahead.
So obviously the liver has a lot of different processes depending on what's going in and whether it's medications or chemicals and substances. So that's definitely going to be part of one of the things we talk about this weekend, or this week. And essentially how keeping your liver detox and even doing stuff throughout the year can kind of help benefit overall health. And some of those trace minerals, like you were mentioning, magnesium, are needed in those processes. So you have to look at dietary aspects of everything in order to get the physical functions of the liver working properly.
Yeah, low magnesium, low vitamin D level are all predisposing to allergy reactions. Things like quercetin and such will cause the liver to detoxify and break a lot of these toxins down. But this Wednesday evening, I know you're going to cover it. This program's way too fast sometimes. This is one of the first Sundays that I say, oh, I wish we had more time. Don't go away. I love you. See you next week. Bye.